Yeah, it's Sachar. It was a sefer I was looking for a long time. I was very happy to find it about sometime last year from the Rebbe from Valbrosh. Not a very well-known Rebbe, but among those who study Chassidus, he's well-known because he has very, very interesting ideas in the Parsha. So let's see what he has to say about Parshas Vayishlach. This is V'yivasu Yaakov levado v'yavavek ish imoy. Yaakov was left alone, and somebody was fighting with him. V'yiga b'kaf yirecho, and this person touched Yaakov. He touched him, he wounded him, he struck him somewhere in the foot. We know that that's the place of Gidan Asher, right? V'tika kaf yirech Yaakov, and his foot became dislocated or displaced. V'yizrecho Hashash, finally the sun came up. V'utzole'al yirecho, and Yaakov was limping. Until this day, we don't eat Gidan Asher. Ginaga b'kaf yirech Yaakov, because he touched the sinaitic nerve. That's how he translated nowadays, anyway. Says the Rebbe, the Vodis Yisachar, v'kashe halo HaKadosh Baruch Hu mekayim shel olam u'moach al eretz kvodoy. What does it mean, v'yavaser Yaakov levadoy? Yaakov was alone. How can you ever be alone? God is everywhere. Moach al eretz kvodoy. You're never alone. So how could the Torah tell us that Yaakov was left alone? What does that mean? The Torah is emes. If the Torah tells us Yaakov was alone, it means something. How can the Torah say something that's not true? You're never alone. God is everywhere. God is always with you. How can it say that? Like it says in Yirmiyah, Halo es ha-shamayim v'sa'aretz ani malei. God says, I fill all the heavens and the earth. Im ken ech yipol adam loymar alav ki nisha levadoi. How can you ever say anybody's alone? It's not true. Uvifrat al bechira avos Yaakov. Yaakov avinu av Hashem is called the bechira avos. He is called the most primary, the choice, the selected of among all the three avos is Yaakov. So how can we say about him that he's alone? Hayech shayach loymer alav vivaser Yaakov levado. HaKadosh Baruch Hu hivticha. God promised him that he was going to be with him. Vehine anoichi imach. That's what God said. I will be with you. And if Hashem says that, and we know the whole earth, the world is full of His glory, and God says, I fill the heaven and the earth. What does it mean when Chumash says Yaakov is alone? Old kash, another question. Omnam ken ki Yaakov inov Hashem nisha levado. Bekolze ayah efa mehechan. Okay, let's say Yaakov was alone. I'll give you that. Why would Sarah Shal Esav think that he could fight with? Why would he think he'd be scared of him? Right? The Midrash says that this person that Yaakov was fighting with was the Sarah Shal Esav. It was the angelic force of Esav. Why did he think that Yaakov should be scared of him? How did he dare fight with Yaakov? Wasn't he scared to fight with Yaakov Avinu? Yaakov Avinu is the, like you said, he's the Bechira of us. He is the epitome of what a tzaddik can be. So shouldn't Sarah Shalisa be scared? V'gam lavin atam shenitna ha-toira al iser gidan asher. So why did Torah also gidan asher? Okay, fine, so he injured Yaakov in that place. What does that do with us? Why can't we eat that? What does that to do? What's the connection? U'bishum mitzvah l'matzinu shenitna ha-toira shum tam. We don't find, if you look through Chumash, the Rambam says it's a mitzvah to look for the reason for the mitzvahs. Why does the Rambam have to say that? Because the Torah doesn't usually tell us the reason for the mitzvahs. We know that it's a mitzvah to do it because God said so, right? God is Melech Malch Gosh Baruch. We have to follow what He says. It's a mitzvah. That's what it means. Mitzvah, it's a commandment. But usually, the Torah doesn't tell us the reason for them. We know that there are reasons, but they're not written in Chumash, explicitly, outright. But here, all of a sudden, the Torah tells us, and the reason you're not going to eat Gidan Asher is because he touched Yaakov, he injured him there. That's actually quite unique. Ubikivud av v'shuach haken. There are two other mitzvahs, he says, that you will tell me, okay, I know Chumash well. By kibud avim, it says you should do this so you'll have a long life, and you should do shuach kam for the same reason. Nichtivu brachos la'mekayimim. Avalonis bar kibavuram nisiyasdu. It says, if you tell me that, so that's actually true, because those two mitzvahs of shuach haken, sending away the mother bird, and kibud avim, and honoring your parents, it doesn't say why. It just promises you reward. It gives you a bracha. Do this so that you shall have a long life. It's not telling you what. It's not the reason you do kibud avim. It's not because I want you to have a long life. Therefore, I'm giving you mitzvah kibud. Because I want you to have a life, that you should do shuvach hakan. That's the bracha. That's the reward that's promised for you. It's not the reasoning behind it. So we're still left with mitzvah in the whole Torah like that. It's quite unique. Yeah. Okay. That's good. That's good. I think the difference would be, I think the difference would be that when we tell about Shabbos, Shabbos is Bereishis. Shabbos, it's not even a it's not like saying I'm telling you to do this and this is the reason why. Shabbos is part of that process. So when you're telling somebody to keep Shabbos because it's to remember creation, that's how creation was. It's like saying it's almost explaining like how to keep kosher, because you're telling a person what Shabbos is. It's the seventh day of creation. Mm-hmm. So I mean, it's a good point what you made, but that might be the answer. But even if so, it's still unique because there aren't so many of them, right? So Ugzeres Melech Halavata, we know that God commanded, he's the king, commands us the servants what to do. V'agam Shekola Torah Rozen DeRozen, and even though we know that there's secrets in the Torah, V'ein L'Hakshel Selechil, and we shouldn't ask questions like this, Afal Pikin HaRishus L'Kol Adam L'Farish L'Fi Sichoi Asher Chanan HaShem. We have Rishus, says the Rebbe, the Rebbe Yisachar, even though we can't know with certainty why God tells us to do things, because he's the king and he commands us and we have to listen to him, but we are given permission to understand and to try to use our human understanding and intellect to see what does God want from us. V'nira behekdem ha-gemara, says the Gemara, says Am Rabbi Yochanan Mishim Rabbi Yosi Kol ha-me'aneges ha-shabbos noisim roi nachol abri mitzar. Whoever has oinig Shabbos, whoever delights in Shabbos, he's given a boundless inheritance. A nachol abri mitzar. It means no boundaries, no gvul. You know, like everything that you get has boundaries. I tell you, I'm giving you a gift, so it's whatever it's in the box. If I tell you I'm giving you a nachla, an inheritance, so how much money is it? It's a certain amount. It's not endless. It's a certain plot of land, a certain house. It has boundaries. But whoever is promised that whoever delights in Shabbos, a boundless, infinite type of inheritance. Shenemar, az tisana gal Hashem. Vechalticha nachlas Yaakov avicha, and if you tisana gal Hashem, says the Navi, I will feed you nachlas Yaakov avicha, the same nachla that Yaakov got. Not like Avram, look Avram shekasuv bo, look Yitzchak shekasuv bo, look Yaakov shekasuv bo. What does it say by Yaakov? Ufaratzta yama vekedma tzafona venegba. Right, those are all the different directions of the compass: north, south, east, and west. And it says ufaratzta, and you'll pass them. You'll go out of those boundaries. You will go further than that. So you promised that type of nachal. Tzrichim lavim mipnei mazach Yaakov lenachal b'mitzarim yisim Avram v'Yitzchak. So yes, why is it that Yaakov was? What did he get better than them? What was different than about Yaakov? Nir ki Yaakov nikra b'shem Yaakov akatan. We call Yaakov. It's found in the Navi that Yaakov is a nickname. He's called Hakatan. Why? Atam ki kol ha'avodos shel Yaakov hay bevchinas katnus. Yaakov had a special madriga of anivus, of humility. He was very humble, and his humility made him seem, in his own eyes, to be small.
Yaakov is named Yaakov.
It says in the Torah. No, not his name. Who he had the way he served Hashem,
okay,
was with katnus. No, I say is Yaakov is called Hakatan. Oh, then in the Navi, he's not called Hakatan. He's called Yaakov Hakatan. He's referred to that way.
Oh, okay.
Not his name was changed.
No, because I've heard it's Yisrael and Yishurun, but I never heard Hakatan.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. So, v'atam ki kol ha'avdus shel Yaakov hay bevchinas katnus, komer b'derech anivus u'shifrus. Ki Yaakov hibit al ha'avdus shel Avram zekeno hay megalim farisayim kvod shmaim b'chol ha'aretz v'hi pil'atz m'rikiv shanesh. What did Avram do? Avram had a tent, and everybody who came in, he told them, there's a God, and make a bracha, and there's a God, and in front of Nimrod, he threw himself into a fire furnace. Like, it was very well known. Avram was famous for his emunah and for what he was giving. Ra'od godo avodos shel Yitzchak aviv sheha poshet tzvar la'akeda, and Yitzchak was willing to self-sacrifice himself on the mizbeach. U'ba'avur zeh haya katan be'enei atzmo. Yaakov looks and says, look at my father and my grandfather. My father was willing to give himself over to God and to stretch out his neck on the mizbeach and die. My grandfather threw himself into a fire furnace. Who am I? You know, when you have forefathers like that, you might not think so much of yourself. He didn't think much of himself, therefore. Neged ma'aseh avos compared to his forefathers, his father, his grandfather. Avraham and Yitzchak, b'ramar ha'ich yagiu ma'aseh avos, how can I ever reach them? Kema kadshu Hashem b'rabim v'anoichi lo zachis l'kadesh Hashem k'moihem. If you notice, Yaakov's life that we've been describing in the Parshas is quite more private than Avraham and Yitzchak's, They did things that were mefursim, and so far none of his actions seem to be that way. So Yaakov kept trying to do more for Hashem, but no matter how much he tried, he thought, compared to my father and grandfather, I'm a nothing. When a person serves Hashem in that way, and he's nullifying himself, and he's making himself small, and he's thinking about himself in his humility, that type of avoda is mushal migvul milatarehu usamno bigvul umetzar. When a person makes himself into nothing, you can't measure it. It's immeasurable. Because anything that has substance, you can measure it. But if something is enough, how can you measure nothing? Nothing's not something you can measure. It has no measure. It's immeasurable. So, but when Yaakov made himself so small and considered himself batel, and he nullified himself and made himself, so to speak, into nothing, he became infinite. He became immeasurable without any boundaries.
This one he said, katonti mikol hachasadim.
That's one of the things. Very good. Yeah, exactly. Zocha Yaakov l'nachlo b'li mitzarim kikenu midaso shel Hashem yisborach. L'shara mida keneged mida. So Yaakov was paid mida keneged mida, right? A measure for a measure. He made himself so small that he was infinitesimally small, that he was not able to be measured. God gave him an immeasurable, boundless inheritance. Mida keneged mida. V'zeu gam ken atam shel ha-ma'aneges ha-shabes zoich l'nachal b'mitzorim. And that's why someone who delights in Shabbos, ki ois Shabbos u'edus al boire romim, ki hu boire, without God there would be nothing. God is the creator of the world and he is everything, and therefore he who delights in Shabbos, being, we said, that os, that sign that reminds us of creation and the boundless energy of creation, the infiniteness of God, and without him there would be nothing. So he is also midah keneged midah zoche to a boundless, infinite type of inheritance. V'afshu mar be'tanu geshabes mikol makom yodeh ba'atzmo shakol zenenu osu bekocho ve'otzim yado rak hakol hu me'aboyer yisborach. Everything we do for Shabbos, you have to know it's all for Hashem. Ki hu nosim lo koyach v'das hayosher al zeh la'asos chay la'aneges Hashem. Because God is the one who gives us the ability to delight in Shabbos. V'adam ba'atzmo eino osu kval nimtze shegam zu b'chinas bitul v'ayin. And if a person has in mind that the whole purpose of me serving God through Shabbos and the whole reason that I'm able to delight in Shabbos is only because God gives me that ability, and he knows it's everything from God, and I myself, I'm nothing. I'm not the one doing it. Mida keneged mida, just like Yaakov. So we said that the angel, the man, what we call the man that fought Yaakov, was really an angel. He was the angelic Sar shel Esav. Chazal tell us who asam achmem, who yitzhar. They're all the same. They have like many different faces, many different names. It's all the same person. He's the asam achmem. He's the angel of death, the malach hamavis. He's the yitzhar. He's the evil inclination. They're all the same character. V'atam sheba atal isavek im Yaakov l'sham. So, like, why did he fight Yaakov now? Yaakov lived, many years before. Why is it this particular point in Yaakov's life that all of a sudden the Malach HaMavis, Sar Shel Esav, Yitzhar, comes and attacks Yaakov in such a way? What happened? V'atam shebo atal yisavak im Yaakov ki hine achar shitzil HaKadosh Baruch Hu beis Lavan hischa Yaakov lasos cheshbon. Now Yaakov was in Lavan's house for a while, and he realized that he's got to run away, because otherwise Lavan's going to take everything that he's earned, maybe take away his wives and his children. So Yaakov runs away, And Lavan runs after him and is threatening his life. And God appears to Lavan in a vision and says, don't touch him. So God saved Yaakov. So Yaakov does a cheshbon now. He goes, 1 second. Till now, I've done this and this much to serve God. And we already said that Yaakov didn't think much of himself compared to his forefathers, to Avram and Yitzchak, right? So he's doing a cheshbon in Efesh. How much does God owe me, so to speak? How much have I done? And all of a sudden, Yaakov's cheshbon comes out like this. God did all these wonderful favors for me the 20 years that I lived by Lavan's house. God gave me children and he gave me wealth. and he gave me life, and he saved my life. All these things God for me did for me for 20 years. How much do I owe God? Lufikach sabr Yaakov l'shalom shekvar shim lo HaKadosh Baruch Hu kol scharo mishalem ve'en lo'od klum etzel HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Yaakov made a cheshbon. He thought, wait a second, I used up all my merits. Like, I have a certain merits that I'm worthy of based on what I do, which he didn't think of as much. And God did all this for me. I think we're square. I think we're even. I don't think God owes me anything anymore. If God doesn't owe me anything, if I have no merit by God, I'm in trouble. Because I'm running on empty. Right? V'ki'ilu me'ata silka kadosh baruch hu me'atzloi ve'en lo od shum hiskarvus elav kede amri inshi helecha schar pulascha v'lech. When a person works for you, right, when you have a servant and they do a certain job for you, you tell them do X, Y, Z and you get this and this is your wages. The job is finished. You pay the worker his wage. Goodbye. We're finished. Like, unless you become friends with them, but otherwise that's the relationship. It's the relationship of a servant and a master. Here is what I served you with. Here is what I owe you. We're finished. Our relationship is a fee-based. That's what Yaakov thought he had with Hashem. I have a certain relationship with you. I'm your servant. I'm serving you. You've paid me my wages, what you owe me in terms of, you gave me children and you gave me ashiris. You don't owe me anything. If you don't owe me anything, maybe our relationship is over. Chalila. Maybe we're not going to be close to each other anymore. Like a person says, I paid you. Goodbye. It's over. Alder Chakasiv, like you said before, Katointi. Mikol chasadim, I've become not only small in terms of humility, katonti, I'm done. All my chasadim have made me small because I have nothing left to expect from God. He's given me above and beyond. Duchpirish Rashi Sham. Vizel v'yavaser Yaakov levadoi. Right, we asked in the beginning, how could we say that Yaakov was alone if Hashem fills the whole of the world? Kloimar b'libo yumachshavasoi nishar b'muskam shu levadoi. Chumash isn't telling us a fact that was true. Like, it was telling us what Yaakov thought. V'yavosu Yaakov levada, Yaakov felt that he was alone. It wasn't that Yaakov was alone, because like we said, you can never be alone. God is always with you. God promised, Anochi Yema. Yaakov said, wait a second. I know God promised me he'll be with me. But maybe that's, you know, with a t'nai, with a condition, as long as I'm worthy of it. But here I've used up all my merits. I've done everything that I was supposed to do as much as I could. I'm nothing like my father or my grandfather. I did my best, but I'm nothing like them. And look at all the wonderful things God... Maybe we're square. Maybe we're even. Maybe Hashem has nothing to do with me anymore. And now I'm all alone. Now, even though we always know that it's good to be humble. Humble is considered a good trait, right? It's good to have humility. It's not good to be a balgaiva, to be overly arrogant or vain. So usually we say humility is good. You know, when we say Rosh Rabbeinu is anav mikol adam, we're praising him, right? Because this, says the Avodas Yisachar, you should know, even though humility is good, it's a positive character trait. Rak tov le'inyan savlanusam, lekabel is kol haba'olav b'simcha. It's only good so long as you're using it to make yourself humble, so that you can accept whatever you receive happily, right? We know that a person naturally in his teva. A person has a money, Chazal say he wants matayim. A person has 100, he wants 200. That's the way we are. So how could we say, Chazal say in Pirkei Avos, Ezu Asher Samech Bechalka, who's really truly wealthy, whoever is happy with what they do have, with their portion that they do have. How do you achieve that? Only through humility. Right? The Rabban Karliner in the Beis Aharon says this, and it's so true. If you think about it, a person who thinks that they don't deserve, so whatever you give them, they're very happy with, because they don't think they deserve it altogether. If a person feels, look, I'm such a nothing. Like, why should God do anything for me? Who am I to expect God to do this for me? Who am I to expect to have a beautiful house and healthy children and a wonderful spouse? And who am I to get that? I don't deserve it because I don't know. I did X, Y, Z wrong. I'm not perfect. I have mistakes. If you think that way, whatever you have, you're so happy. You're so grateful for it because, like, I don't deserve it. So if I get it, I'm so happy. You know, you're not expecting you mess up at work 5 or 6 times. You're certainly not expecting a raise. All of a sudden, your boss comes and gives you a raise. I deserve it. Even if it's a few dollars, you're like so happy. But if you think you've been doing the most wonderful job for years and you're, you know, underpaid, and all of a sudden your boss says, listen, I know you really wanted a raise this year, but we can't afford this. And then you feel like, but I deserve it. Even if, you know, I deserve that. How could you not give it? Every person's natural feelings, the smaller you are in your eyes, the less you feel you deserve, the happier you are with what you get. So that's when humility is good, to be happy with what you're getting. But in our case, right? We have nothing to be tovel. We can't mun, as we say in Shem Kodesh Baruch Hu. I'm asking, I deserve. Give me because I deserve it. That's not the right way to think of God. When it comes to serving Hashem, when it comes to serving a Kodesh Baruch Hu, it's very important to also temper your humility with not arrogance and vanity, not that type of gaiva, but pride in terms of that God is merciful and God is loving and caring. When you go to your parent and you ask them, it's not because you necessarily deserve it, but you expect it because you know that they love you. You're not saying you deserve it necessarily, but you know that they love you.
I also heard you shouldn't tell God I should get it because I deserve it, because then they're going to come and they're really going to judge you.
Right. If you say you deserve it, let's do a cheshbon.
So they're gonna
do a cheshbon. You say you deserve it. Let's do a cheshbon and see if you deserve it.
So you
definitely shouldn't ask because you deserve it. But even though you're right, definitely shouldn't say I deserve. You know, I did this. I got up in the morning and I davened chakras and I did. Right. 100%. You're 100% right. So, but that's definitely not what we're saying to do. But still, a person has to realize that even though he should be humble, and you should think of, you know, that you're not necessarily deserving. But even though you come to your parents, you don't always ask your parents because you deserve it. You know, mommy and tati love me, and they give. You may not feel this way about me, they give, even if I don't deserve it, because that's how parents are. It's a pasuk in Tanakh. Yigba liba bedarkei Hashem. It comes to darkei Hashem, say Chassidim, very into this pasuk. Raise your heart up. Have a little bit of pride. Right? We say
pride to be connected to Hashem.
Pride in what you do. We spoke about in Parshas Noach. One of the faults, can't know Noach is a tzaddik, right? But one of the faults that it says in the Zohar is that Noach didn't daven for his generation. So we said one of the explanations of that is that Noach didn't believe enough in himself. He didn't believe he had the power to stop the decree. And the Chazal find fault with Noach for that. That even though we can't find fault with Noach, because Noach was compared to us, he was a huge tzaddik, but on his level, he should have tried to daven to cancel the decree, and he didn't. Because he didn't believe in himself. A person has to believe in him or herself, that what they do matters, that Kadosh Baruch Hu is interested in them, that he's interested in my mitzvahs, that he's interested in my learning, that he's interested in my davening, that he cares about what I do. The chesed that I do, Kadosh Baruch Hu cares about that. It's important to him. Otherwise, he wouldn't have told me to do it in the first place if it wasn't important to him. Right? What would he tell us to do it for if it's not important? So a person is cheating himself when he doesn't believe in himself. And he's cheating cosmically the whole universe, because the merit that you get is spread over all of Klal Yisrael. So a person has to know that when it comes to humility, it's important. But when it comes to serving HaKadosh Baruch Hu, don't be overly humble. Don't think too little of yourself. Give yourself some credit and give yourself some self-worth, because there's a lot of it there, not just a little.
It's the same thing with Beit Hanan.
Yeah.
They told Moshe to stop davening, and if only one more Jew would have davened, he would have gone.
If only he had davened one more time.
But he wasn't allowed.
He told him not to. Yeah,
he told him not to. So right. What I had read was that, maybe it was Yalkut Shimon, I don't remember, that if all the Bnei Yisrael, nobody davened for Moshe because they said his tefillah are like incredible.
Oh yeah, it's interesting.
There's
I never
this guy, uh-huh. And he didn't wasn't able to get into
okay.
But it said if one more Jew, the gematria of
Beit Hanan is
15, and if he had
right.
One more prayer, he would
right.
Have gone in. So any Jew in Am Yisrael would have davened, he would have gone in. So it was trying to say that every tefillah counts.
Yeah, 100%. We have no.
And never belittle your own.
Yeah, we have no clue what the value. Like I was saying in the beginning, before we started this year, the Arizal said, we don't have a clue how important our actions are in this generation. How much more so than in other generations, because the darkness is so great. So, what we're saying here is that Rameer Premeshliner once said, that's one of the meanings behind what we say in Maariv. We say V'hasir Satan milfanenu u'me'achorenu. So said Rameer Premeshliner. That also means, to remove the Satan, we said the Satan is the Yetzirah, remove the Yetzirah I have before a mitzvah and after a mitzvah. Before a mitzvah, the Satan comes and says, Who are you to do this mitzvah? Who do you think you are? 5 minutes ago, with this same mouth and lips and tongue, you spoke Lashon Hara. 5 minutes ago, you lied. 5 minutes ago, you said something not appropriate. With this same mouth, you're going to open it up and say a bracha? With this same mouth, you're going to daven? Who do you think you are? You think God's going to care for your tefillah after you use such a dirty mouth? You think your tehillim is worth anything? You're thinking about a million other things in the middle of tehillim. You may as well not say it. Well, who are you to kid yourself? You're making a bracha? You're saying Hashem's name levatal? You're not even having a right code. Any excuse he has to stop you. And if you overcome and do it anyway, then he comes and goes, ooh, what a tzaddik. See that guy? He didn't have kavanah. You dive into the whole 5 minutes without even one thought bothering you. See that person? Ooh, that person, he didn't even bother coming to Shacharis time. You came 5 minutes early. He's great to Satan. He's unbelievable. Before the mitzvah, he tries to stop you from doing it, any which way. And if you overcome him and succeed in doing it, then he tries to fill you with gaiva, thinking that it was so good and ruin it for you. That's v'haser Satan milfaneinu ma'achareinu. The Satan comes before the mitzvah and after the mitzvah. Before the mitzvah, he comes to try and stop us from even bother doing it. And if we succeed in doing it, he tries to fill us up with gaiva and pride and arrogance and vanity that we're so great at doing it that other people, who are they? And he ruins it for us. So it's a very strong adversary. Look at Yaakov. And we have a lot to do to fight him, to overcome him before.
Yeah. Chafetz Chaim does say that if you talk Lashon Hara, then it's your mouth is dirty and Hashem. So what is it? It's just in a holding pattern waiting to go up?
I don't know exactly what goes on, but I'll tell you one thing. I'll tell you two things, actually.
Because I always have a thing with that. Okay. So happens,
I'll tell you two. There's two things. First of all, this the Rishami and the Rambam Paskins at Halacha says, "Ein davar ol mifnei tshuva." Nothing stands in the way of tshuva. Nothing. Don't let anybody tell you otherwise, because the Rambam Paskins at Halacha, you can be sure that it's true. Nothing stands in the way of tshuva. Therefore, no matter what a person Chas V'Shalom did, a Jew has to believe that he has a second chance and a third chance. Because Baruch Hu gives you more chances. He's infinitely patient, much more than people are. And every person, no matter what Chas V'Shalom they said or did, can do tshuva. That's number one. Number two, the Sfarim do say something similar to that. They say that our tefillos that aren't successful, or mitzvahs, they need what are called wings to fly up to Shemayim. They need to get there somehow. The wings are called Av and Yir, Dechilur Chimu. And those wings that we use to make our mitzvahs go up, if we're missing them, we can add them later. The Sfarim, the Baal Shem Tov says that there are certain times that tefillos that didn't make it can go back up. For example, every Erev Shabbos, the last mincha of the week, the Sfarim say, that mincha has the power to uplift all the davening of that week up. The davening of the last tefillah of the year before the end of the year has the power to uplift all the other tefillahs of that year. And then there's other times during the year that we know that Kadosh Baruch Hu gives us the opportunity to fix and uplift all the things. A person's connected to tzaddik, a tzaddik has the power to uplift prayers. That's why Chassidim are very makbid to be by the Rebbe, especially during Yom Tovim. We believe that the tzaddik has the power to take our prayers to a level that if we weren't zoicha, he can do it for us. Not that we should only rely on him, but when we have no choice because we weren't successful, he has the power to do things that we can't. So that's important to have a kesher to some kind of a rav, some kind of a rebbe, some kind of a tzaddik. You not necessarily have to be necessarily physically next to him. Having some kind of a kesher, and that kesher that you have will help. These other tefillos help. There are ways to fix it. A person should never give up hope and know that no matter what they do, one tefillah bekavana can come and help all the tefillos that weren't bekavana, and one mitzvah can offset many averas. The Rambam says in Hilchus, I think it's also in Hilchus Tshuva, that if a Rasha does a certain mitzvah, it tips the scales, he dies right away. The Ravid says that's not true. The Ravid argues in the Rambam's passage, how can we see a lot of Rishon walking around? So the Mefarshim explain, we don't know the value of our actions. We know that if you did a cheshbon, one against one, so this person has 100 mitzvahs and 100 averis, and their scales are evenly weighed, and if you do one mitzvah, you tip the scale. If you do one, but God doesn't think of mitzvahs and averis in that way. He doesn't weigh them individually, one against the other, like one weighs, each one weighs a pound, so to speak. Every person and their nisyonis, in their environment, where they grew up, what their influences were, even today, just today, just this tefillah that you're going to daven today has its own ramifications compared to the tefillah you davened in Shacharis, and the tefillah you're going to daven from Arvah will be different. Everything has its infinite way that HaKadosh Baruch Hu sees the world and all the different connections and people and things that you did and things that you thought of and merits that you have with you. You give a coin to tzedakah before your tefillah is a different tefillah. Not necessarily because you feel it, but giving that one coin to tzedakah changes the power of what your tefillah will be and how it can go and what it can do. And it's, there's so many cheshbonos, said the Mefarshim, that it's not that the Ravid's wrong or that the Rambam, or the Ravid's right and the Rambam's wrong. We see Rishon walking around, we think, how could they, we don't know what they possibly could have done to stay alive. And we see people who are called tzaddikim and they're suffering. We don't know what they possibly could have, chas v'shalom, done wrong on their level, for them. It's causing them to suffer. And the Kadosh Baruch Hu has chesbon is based on previous lifespans and gilgulim, says the Ramban, and Sefer Iyov. So we don't understand these chesbonos, but we know that they exist, and they're vast, and they're infinite. And therefore we have to believe in the value of what we do, and we have to have hope in it. And we know that even if a person, chas v'shalom, speaks lashon hara, there's a way to fix it. There's a way to overcome it. And it's wrong, and a person has to study the halachas and fix it in the tshuva. And Hashem helps that afterwards, it's fixed, and then whatever he's done or she's done, it gets fixed and gets... But that's one of the ikar things of this Torah is that never give up hope. And never think that katonti mikol chasadim means I did a cheshbon, and now I'm stuck. Because according to my cheshbon, I'm chayev. According to my cheshbon, I'm worthless. I have no relationship. I've run out of gas. I've run out of steam. I've run out of merits. I'm alone. That's what Yaakov was saying. V'gam isha shafel yigbali b'darkei Hashem v'yishazek. V'yor meleis ana movid savri mimbrei. I will not remove myself, my emunah, from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, ever. I will always have trust and faith in Him. U'bishviri nivra oilam. Rav Simcha Bonim from Breshisri used to say a man has to have two pockets. In one pocket he has to place the statement, the world was created for me. And in the other pocket, he has to place the statement, right? Anoichi ofer ve'efer, but I'm still dust and ashes. And you have to, it's a balance. It's a balance between humility and pride that's not arrogance and vanity. V'Hashem heitiv im lo lamani yas. And God will do good. Im lo lamani yas. He'll do it, even if it's not for my sake. He'll do it for the sake of what He sees purpose in the world. Yas laman kvod shmo. He'll do it for His own sake. And for the sake of the Shechina, uleman rucha v'nishmasa yitzila b'kir b'chelak Elohim mimal. And a person has to believe, I have a neshama. I have a neshama of a Jew. The neshama of a Jew, say this for him, is chelak Elohim mimal. It's called the peace from God on high. Whatever that means. We know God can't be broken into pieces. Okay. We're not going to go into the philosophical explanation of what it means chelak Elohim mimal. But we have what's called a godly, divine soul within us. What does it mean that Yaakov was limping? Says what it means that Yaakov, when he humbled himself to the point where his humility was detrimental to his avoda, that made him limp. It wasn't that necessarily, I mean, he was limping physically also. I'm not saying that it happened. The mice that happened, it happened physically. But on a deeper level, it means he made himself a balmum. He made himself limp. He caused himself to not be able to walk normally because he injured himself by doing this to himself. And because the Hayah Mischazek is Atzim, but still Yaakov strengthened himself, B'melchamos Hashem, Im Sarash L'Esav, in the end, who was victorious in this battle? It was Yaakov. Yaakov was the victor. They fought, and he was injured, but he emerged victorious. Im Sarash L'Esav, V'yocholo, it says he succeeded in overcoming him. V'yizrach L'Hashemesh, and the sun shined for Yaakov, that means the Yeshua, the salvation, the sun of salvation shined for Yaakov. Avol sara shel Esav chashav al Yaakov al vino sham asher kmo shehi aduk b'machshavto ki nisha levado le'inin kabbalah saschar ki nisha levado otzer ve'ozev mitik vasoi v'teichalto b'mechamos Hashem. So the sara shel Esav, we asked, how could he not be scared to fight with Yaakov? What was he thinking? And the answer that the Vodis Sefer says is he wasn't scared because he thought that Yaakov really truly believed that he was left alone without any hope, without any salvation. He thought Yaakov did a cheshbon and now he sees that he's used up his merits. Maybe Yaakov believes that that's it. It's all over. When a person falls into that type of depression and he gives up hope, that's when the Sarah Shalesev comes, that's when the Yetzirah comes and attacks. At a moment that a person gives up hope, at a moment that a person says, I can't do it anymore, I don't have the power anymore to do this, I don't know what God wants from me anymore, and I'm losing hope, and I have no more hope, and it can't be fixed, and what I did is so terrible that it can't ever be overcome, and I'm worthless. When a person reaches chas v'shalom words like that, of despair and depression, that's when the Yetzirah, that's when the Sarashal Esav attacks. That's when he has the power to, that's when he's not scared to attack. Because that's when he's able to injure us, to hurt us.
So then where did Yaakov get the strength to come up from there? That sounds like a really bad place to be, and you're already dead, and then the Sarashal Esav, but Yaakov managed to pick himself
because,
up.
Because, yeah, deep inside, Yaakov had the knowledge that we're speaking about, that even though Yaakov was scared, maybe used up his merits, Yaakov didn't forget what we're saying. That still, Bishurin Yivra Oilam, I still have a merit. I know that God wants me somehow because he put me here. I know that God's interested in my avodah because he gave me mitzvahs. I know that Hashem wants me to serve him because he wants a relationship with me because he said so. That gave Yaakov the power. That little bit of self-assurance that Yaakov remained with was enough to overcome him. He touched him by the yerech, by the thigh. The thigh is part of the foot. The feet are used to walk. You must know a person has to always continue walking, never stand still. And that means that no matter where you're holding, you can always reach something better, even if it's just a little step, but something. Because a person can never stand still, because the moment the Bali Musar say, if a person is either going up or going down, there's no standing still. Because if a person stands still, he's actually going backwards, he's actually falling. So we once said, and we just spoke about now also, about the concept of losing hope because of avarice. When a person's been injured in a battle, so the Sfarim bring down a very well-known mashal, that if two people are fighting and one gets injured, if he stops to, you know, check his wounds and try to take care of them and heal himself, the other guy's going to finish him off. In the heat of battle, you don't stop to check your wounds. You just either flee or you keep fighting. One or the other. But you don't stop. Stopping is fatal. And that's what we have to do. We have to either keep on fighting or flee. And we have to choose based upon the situation and what the Nisayon is. And that's what it means. A person can't look at the different things that he's done wrong when the Yetzirah comes and attacks you and says, stop. When it's coming to Kedusha and a person stops, he's lost. Instead, he has to forge on, strengthen him and herself, and keep going. And these are the chatoim and the avonos, Rahman al-Litzlan. These psalm, these wounds, they're the averis that a person does. We're not perfect. We do things wrong. But if we pay too much attention to them, if we let them hold us back, we'll never continue. We'll never succeed. We'll only lose. Rak lishmoris atz molios omed al amdo, stand strong. Even though a person could feel, and there are times it says a person could feel that death is better than life. You know, a person can reach a point in their life, chas v'shalom, where it's so bad that they might think they'd be better off chas v'shalom dead. A person can feel so dark and so down in despair sometimes that he feels like he can't even open his mouth to say a davening. He feels like he can't even open a sefer. Like, what's the point already? And at that moment, that's the Sar Shalesov. That's when he's attacking. V'afal pikin, says the Rebbe, lo yazov is atzom, v'yischazik b'kol ha'yacholes. There's nothing else you can do but chizuk. K'mo l'mashal. Socher gadol, kira b'cheshbona shu bal choyv gadol. V'afilu im yimkor kol asher lo b'veisol liyaspik lo l'sharam chavosim. A person did a business deal, and it went wrong. And he looks at the amount of money he owes his creditors. Even if he would sell everything that he owns, he can't pay them back. If a person says, listen, I've never been this low before, but look, I can't give up because if I do, I won't be able to even pay back my creditors, so I better find a better business deal. Then he has two advantages, says the Rebbe. Ki abalchov kasher em roim shadayin hu mishtadu mekach hu memkar, There are people out there that are actually going to be willing to lend him. They see he's still doing business. They don't necessarily know that he's totally bankrupt. So if people see a person still doing business, he doesn't declare bankruptcy and he's not out of it, there are still people out there that are going to lend him money and let him continue to try and make it back. Right? And still, because he trusts in Hashem, he gives himself a second chance based on in his emunah. God gives him a second chance and helps him. And when the person knows in the business world, especially when Hashem is helping you, you can do one deal and pay and cover all your debts and even have a profit to cover his windfall. That could happen. But if you give up, I have no koyach to go on. I don't have the strength. I have no more money. Then he has two negative things that happen. First of all, no one's going to lend him any money if he declares bankruptcy. That's it. He's going to be a pauper. And then the creditors come knocking on your door. Where's my money? And that's the mashal. What's the nimshal? A person doesn't pay attention to how bad his mind is. Listen, I know I'm holding at the worst possible state, and I can't do the right kavana, and I'm not proud of what I did wrong, and etc., etc. Still, if he says, listen, I know that I did wrong, and but I'm going to continue, I'm going to try again. Says the Rebbe, if a person doesn't give up hope, he has the ability in one moment to fix it all. Hashem gives him such a powerful second chance that with his hope is strong enough, with one bright, illuminated moment, he could fix everything. Just by holding on to that hope, holding on to that desire to be better and fix himself and do tshuva. And if a person does tshuva out of ava, Chazal tell us that even the things he did wrong become merits. But what a person would give up hope. A person did chas shalom averis. They did something wrong. And instead of saying, I'm going to do tshuva and fix it, not only will he not be able to do tshuva and maybe get zchuyos, get a profit out of it. If you leave the averis the way they are, of course they're going to be there. They're not just going to go away. And what was the mashal? The creditors come calling, right? The other forces, negative forces out there, they come calling. You owe them something now, because when a person does certain averis, they create certain negative forces in the world, and those negative forces want what's due to them, and they come calling. They see you as their creator, and they come calling to you. So when a person does tshuva, he erases those things, he deletes them, he removes them. He's able to reach even the point, like we said, that Chazal say that a person can do tshuva in a way that he gets zchuyos. He gets merits. He can even reach the other stage. If he would have been able to take away from Yaakov the ability to keep walking, the ability to keep going, that pride and that faith and that hope to keep on going, if he could have done that, he would have been successful in being victorious over Yaakov. Ba'avur shira ki nisha Yaakov b'v'chines levadoi hayasavur ki az yachohu. Right? He thought he could overcome Yaakov. Yaakov thinks he's alone. He thinks he's done. He thinks the Kashmos left him. I got him. But Yaakov remembered that it wasn't so. Achen Yaakov hirgish miyad tachbulos. If Yaakov saw what was going on, Asher ya'atz alav sar shalesa v'haya mischazek al ba'ez shifru soy af ki haya tzolea al yerecho. You make me limp, doesn't matter. I'm going to keep walking even with my limp.
Wait, so did the limp mean that it's a gam in his emunah?
That says in other storm. There's a different, the Sivas Shalom says such a thing. Okay. He speaks about that idea. But in this understanding of it, it wasn't a pgam in his emunah, it was a pgam in his ability to continue, in his ability to continue, instead of being able to walk, straight and normal and do what he was supposed to do, because he thought, I guess that is a pgam in emuna, because he didn't, because he thought Hashem had left him. I guess that is a pgam in emuna.
I was only saying, because you were saying the Tsar felt that if he could stop Yaakov from walking,
right,
then he would win.
Right.
So Yaakov was able to walk, but he was walking with a limp.
Right.
So it felt like, so there was something damaged.
Yeah, there was definitely something damaged. Even though Yaakov was successful, he was damaged. He's still able to hump, you know, walk away even though he limped away. And that's the salvation that he had. So we have another, we have another 10 minutes. So I'm gonna try in the next 10 minutes to add to this idea. In a slightly different kivun. So we said, like you mentioned, we said that the Siv Shalom talks about emuna, but